Well, if you want to get your questions or comments in, you can get started now. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Today, here for his first Talk of Alaska as governor is Sean Parnell. Call now with your questions or comments from wherever you are in Alaska. The toll-free phone number 1-800-478-8255 and Anchorage a local call 550-8422. Email talk@aprn.org. The 26th Alaska Legislature is about to go into its second year and elections loom. Governor Sean Parnell, our guest today on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by BP. Teaming up with Alaskans since statehood, and together looking toward a bright future.
Well, here we are with Governor Sean Parnell. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be back.
Well, I wonder how you're liking living in Juneau. You've lived there before, of course.
We have. As a family, we were there during my legislative service, and we recently made the move back to Juneau, and we're still amidst boxes, and we still have boxes here in our Anchorage home. We're trying to still get moved, so we are in transition.
Everybody's got boxes this
yeah.
time of year.
That's true.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of calls come piling in, and I'm trying to figure out where to start, and I guess it'll be the budget. You know, you've put the budget out. It appeared to get fairly favorable reaction from the legislature. You deliberately left the capital budget kind of sketchy. And what's your intent there with the capital budget? In other words, you are willing essentially to let the legislature take a piece of the capital budget, as has been the tradition, and work out what they want to put in there.
Well, the capital budget is clearly defined that I've proposed. And what it does is it leverages all the federal funds that are available. It provides $100 million worth of deferred maintenance work that will go straight to our contractors. And it provides roads to resources as another example of capital spending. But it also does leave room for legislators to leave their mark, because it's the legislature's job to appropriate the money, and that's what they do.
I am wondering about this deferred maintenance part, because that seems to be just about the least attractive thing that you for a politician to espouse. I mean, something about equipment that the government bought that's wearing out, that needs work, it's just not very attractive as an investment.
It's necessary. What we've got is we've got an economy here, and we've got that needs help, and we've got facilities and roads that are falling down. And so what I said is, look, we need a deferred maintenance plan that puts people to work, that takes care of the assets we already have. It's not sexy or glamorous to, you know, replace a lot of boilers or replace roofs, but it's necessary to maintain the assets we have. And also, it provides jobs in a down economy right now.
Well, speaking of jobs, how do you feel Alaska is doing in terms of spending its stimulus money?
Well, the money that we've got so far, we're doing a responsible job with it. And what I see happening is I see the federal government not yet turning loose of all the stimulus money that was supposed to come our way, but we're doing a good job with it at this point.
All right. There is a press release that came out from you sort of during the holidays here that says that you have set up an Alaska Military Force advocacy and structure team. I would assume that this is something that is sort of aimed at likely BRAC processes in the future. We know that at one point they were talking about closing Fort Richardson. At one point, and as it turned out, they rolled Culis into Fort Richardson. Richardson and Elmendorf were going to be integrated. There's been an ongoing battle about what's going to happen with the missile defense base at Fort Greely and so forth. So I guess that's what this is about.
It is. Supporting our military has been a high priority of mine and of our entire administration. I've spent a lot of time with our military families and on Alaskans' behalf there. And in my travels, particularly in the interior, you hear a lot about the BRAC process, because Eielson was the most recently threatened base with closure there. And what I thought was important to do was to form a citizens committee that looked at maintaining the support for our existing military capacity here, as well as looking for expanding their mission. So I want to have more of our military service members here. I encourage our military service members to retire here when they're done. And that's a part of what this AmFest group is going to do.
We're seeing right now the Donnelly Dome area. There's going to be some live fire action going on there. And there has been an increase over the years that I've been in Alaska of the use of Alaska for military training exercises, especially for aircraft. I guess you would be very supportive of that.
I am. We have the premier training area in America. We've got huge amounts of acreage in the interior where planes can fly free of interference with civilian aircraft, free of the radio frequency restrictions that are in place in the lower 48. Alaska is a great place to train, and we're supportive of that mission here.
Our telephone number, if you wish to speak with Alaska Governor Sean Parnell, is 1-800-478-8255. That's 478-TALK. And Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422. Also, I have email, but it's hard for me to look at the screen and look at the governor at the same time, but I'll try and do it from time to time. Email is talk@aprn.org. And while we're waiting for our first question, I'll ask you if you had any doubts about continuing this tradition that's gone on since Steve Cooper, since you were a kid, to appear on the statewide call-in show.
No, I've made it my habit to be accessible to Alaskans. This is another great venue to do that, so I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, Cooper had the idea. He said, look, I need to talk to people all over the state, not just the ones that come to Juneau, and this is a great opportunity to do it.
Absolutely.
Every other governor has followed through. It was very interesting when Governor Hickel was doing the show, because he would have a crew here, and they would all take notes and follow up as to what, you know, because there's no way that a governor is going to know all the things that can be brought up on a show like this.
That's for sure.
Remember one time we had Cooper get us a call from Gamble, and they say, what are you going to do about our walrus hunters? They've been missing for a week now, and nobody knew. And he said, well, I guess I'll call out the National Guard. So he did, and he found the walrus hunters, and he found out about it.
It's important for a governor to get out, to hear from the people, and be able to take care of these issues that we wouldn't otherwise know about.
Telephone number again is 1-800-478-8255. That's 478-TALK. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422, and email is talk@aprn.org. It's Governor Sean Parnell, our guest on Talk of Alaska statewide. Well, you're... How is it?
Tell me about your most interesting moment with a governor, Steve.
Oh, well, I would
have to identify the governor.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, the most interesting moment really was flying over the Seward floods with Bill Sheffield. You know, that was pretty hard to beat, jumping in a National Guard helicopter, you know, seeing all this devastation down beneath you, and there's a new governor, and he's excited.
Well, you know, that's the beauty, I think, of being governor, even lieutenant governor, is I had the chance to do that and go to Akiak this last spring when the spring floods occurred there. The town was gathered in the high school. They'd already evacuated the homes. We moved in there, landed the aircraft, went to the school, and we were able to help organize their list of supplies that were needed for the residents there. And our National Guard and our emergency services personnel did a great job of delivering those needed supplies within about 8 hours. You know, this was last spring, so those traditions still continue.
I guess, have you gotten any updates on the pick, click, and give thing that it overloaded the server, and maybe there was a little bit of a software problem with it. Apparently it's straightened out now.
Well, I have been kept apprised of that, and I made sure and directed that, of course, that gets taken care of as quickly as possible. There will be an opportunity, as was reported in today's newspaper, for those who have already filled out their PFD applications. The Permanent Fund Division is making sure that they will have another opportunity to pick, click, and give. We're encouraging everybody who applies now to pick, click, and give as well in the process.
Okay, if you're ready for the phone calls, Governor, I guess they're here for you.
Sure, let's go.
All right, first call comes from Anchorage, and it's Al. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Governor Sean Parnell. Al?
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity to talk directly to the governor.
Good morning.
Mr. Parnell, I'm an old supporter, by the way, of your dad.
So am I. Thanks.
I've known you for many years, and I've always felt kindly toward you. I was more than a little disturbed, however, on November 13th when President Obama made the refueling stop at Elmendorf, and all state officials had an opportunity to be there and represent our state, and you chose instead to be somewhere else. And I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you, I was outraged when you did that, and I considered it a snub of our president. And I'm not saying this just because I'm one of the 120,000 Alaskans who voted for President Obama, but I say this because I'm worried that you're not going to work in good faith with the president who's making an effort to invest in Alaska. And so I guess my question is, are you really, can you assure me that you're going to be the governor for all Alaskans or just that part of Alaska with whom you agree?
That's a fair question, and I appreciate your concern. I've heard it from a number of people, and you know, indeed, would share that concern. In most cases, in this case, I do need to describe something that happened, and that was that we were working with the White House, with the security personnel, on my meeting with the president when he arrived. We asked for a meeting. I asked for the opportunity to greet him. We were told that there would be no civilian interaction with him except for 12 pre-selected military personnel who he was going to meet with, so there would be no chance to greet him. That was what we were told going into it when he originally was scheduled the day before he arrived, and then of course the Fort Hood events intervened. We continued working with his office, and then his schedule slipped to the following day. We were again told there would be no civilian interaction whatsoever with him. No elected officials would be able to interact with him. And then his flight slipped into the lunch commitment, the speaking commitment that I'd made 2 months before. And I did choose to keep that commitment. Instead, I sent members of my office to fill the 10 seats that they had given us. And so I'm sorry that offended you. It was not meant as a snub to the president. It was meant for me to keep my commitment as well as to honor what they said, that there would be no civilian interaction between me and the president.
Well, I just want you to work in good faith with our president.
And indeed, I am. I've been to Washington, D.C. a number of times. I've been in the White House, the executive office building there, speaking with one of his advisors on interior issues. I've spoken with his Secretary of Interior on the interior issues, and believe that we have a working relationship there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Al, I want to thank you for that question, because I'm getting the same question by email, and clearly the governor was anticipated this would be coming up. It looks to me like one of the things that might have been going on here is that it's a new administration. You're a new administration, and sometimes it takes a little while for staffs to figure out what they're doing.
Well, we have, and don't forget, we have Alaskans working in the new administration that we deal with daily. John Katz of my D.C. office has served 8 governors, Republicans and Democrats. He continues to serve Alaskans in that capacity. Every day we're dealing with federal issues. Unfortunately, most of them cause me concern when it comes to resource development issues, but indeed we are engaging with the federal government on a daily basis.
All right. Next question for Governor Sean Parnell. It comes from Jeffy in Palmer. Go ahead and take a sip of your coffee there. Jeffy, I'd like to welcome you to Talk of Alaska with Governor Sean Parnell.
Hi, Governor. It's an honor. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I've had the honor of hearing you speak twice, both at the IT Expo and at the joint chamber meetings in the Valley just shortly after you took office. And both times, I believe you made a comment about being interested in creating new high-tech jobs in the state using the natural resources that we have, and possibly even trying to create a data center using the cooling from, you know, our natural climate. Is the state making any steps to attract businesses to that, or are they willing to provide any incentives for any businesses that would be interested in creating that or moving up here?
I think yes to all those questions. And one of the things that we've tried to do is think a little differently about our economic growth potential and economic development. And you've kind of hit on one of those. You know, what are Alaska's unique strengths? And one of those unique strengths is really our cold climate. And what that means is if you can apply a cold climate to a heat-intensive, energy-intensive endeavor like a server farm, for example, a data center, you can keep energy costs low because the cold climate itself helps to do that. And so, yes, I'm very open to a new idea such as that, and would be interested in that that line of thinking.
Okay. And my second and final question was, I know in previous administrations have provided incentives to companies trying to take broadband internet access out to some of the villages. With the current federal stimulus money that's out there and the application processes that we're going through, is the state willing to revive that program and add some additional funding in addition to the federal monies that are available?
You know, if there was a worthwhile project, then I would say that I'd be open to hearing about it. The federal government has supplied, about $27 or $28 billion worth of broadband stimulus. There were about as many applicants for the stimulus money coming to Alaska. And if there's a way to leverage even more broadband funds with state funds, I'd be open to the discussion.
Jeffy,
okay, and is there someone in particular we would contact for information on that?
Absolutely. I think you would want to contact the commissioner's office at the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. That would be Commissioner Emil Nadi. Contact him, or in my office, you could contact Susan Bell. She's in the Juneau office. She's my special assistant for Commerce and Economic Development. So that would be 465-3500 for Susan Bell.
Jeffy, I want to thank you very much for your call. Governor, I'd like to take a little bit of a break. We're going to try to adjust your microphone here as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Alaska Communication Systems, connecting your business and employees to the world through their high-capacity data network, bandwidth speeds up to 1,000 megabits per second, acsalaska.com.
It's Talk of Alaska. Governor Sean Parnell is our guest. Plenty of calls coming in for you, Governor. The telephone number 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, statewide from all over Alaska. Email is talk@APRN.org. And it's a local call from Anchorage at 550-8422. We got one from Mark Masteller, who is the appropriate technology guy. And as you might expect, he's talking about what plans does your administration have to wean Alaska from fossil fuels?
very good question. Number one, fossil fuels will be with us for a long time to come. And frankly, the next transition away from oil is to natural gas when Prudhoe Bay and Kuparik become natural gas provinces. When it comes to renewable fuels and alternative sources, the state of Alaska has committed $125 million in renewable energy grant funds. And I have tasked Senator Jean Theriault with following through there to ensure that communities that want to come together on a plan to access a renewable source of energy in their area can have access to that grant money and move forward with their plans. So In this year's budget, I've put another $25 million towards renewable energy grants. You will see that commitment maintained. And frankly, right now, the Alaska Energy Authority is trying to get out that original money of $125 million to the communities. What we're finding is that when the communities say they want, you know, three new wind turbines, or they come up with a plan to use some tidal energy, they need some additional help in putting together the application and the business plan to make it work. And so it's taken more time than the legislature intended or thought it would to get the $125 million on the streets into the villages for renewable energy.
You know, it strikes me that natural gas could be the transitional fuel.
It is, absolutely.
And Alaska is like the mother lode of natural gas. We see now that finally the Canadian government may be getting off the dime and allowing the Mackenzie River project to go forth. We will have an open season for the two Alaska schemes before. There's an open season for that one, apparently. Of course, they have a different regulatory system in Canada. But still, I'm wondering if maybe more could be done to, on the demand side, in the lower 48, to promote Alaska natural gas.
I think there's absolutely some work that could be done there. I'm taking a trip shortly after this program to Washington, D.C. to visit some military folks, the topic we talked about earlier, but also to see if there aren't some strategies that can be employed to increase demand pull for Alaska's natural gas. If people in the lower 48 realized that every day on the North Slope, 8 billion cubic feet of clean natural gas is coming up out of the ground, and we're re-injecting it to bring up more oil, basically we need a hose hooked up to that natural gas, and it needs to get to market. And that is, you know, we've always talked about kind of the supply end, the producer push end, but with the demand pull from the lower 48 saying we want more abundant, cleaner, cheaper energy, I think there's room for Alaska's natural gas.
Speaking of natural gas, you also have your Cook Inlet conundrum. Your predecessor, Governor Palin, worked out a 2-year extension of the export license for that LNG plant there. Do you have any idea what posture, if you're going to continue supporting a possible more extension for that to keep that plant going, or exactly how you might be approaching that?
You know, we haven't addressed that yet because the extension was just granted effectively. But realistically, we've got to look at other sources of energy in the inlet as well. There's, according to our DNR, there is plenty of natural gas in the inlet, but there are some barriers to bringing it to market. At the same time, we've got Siri, for example, that has a new project across the inlet, coal gasification, effectively. You know, if that technology can work, that too can bring more abundant energy sources to Anchorage. So, and to South Central in general. So there are some options there. But in terms of the LNG export facility, we have not turned to that specific topic, given that the extension has just been granted.
Yeah, and it is also kind of interest to see the majors repositioning themselves, apparently, in the inlet with Exxon's acquisition of XTO. So you just don't know.
Maybe. We don't. It could all shift in the next year.
It could shift real, real quick. Let's go to Chris, who joins the program from Portage Creek. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Governor Sean Parnell. Chris.
Good morning, Governor and Steve. Can you pick me up okay?
Yes. Sounds like a radio phone.
Yes, it's a better radio phone, which means it's better than no phone. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
I'm wondering if you're up to date with the plans for the state to go with a big game concession plan.
Why don't you go ahead and bring me up to date on that?
He's asking you for you to...
Give me your update.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what the update is this program is being implemented on letters sent to the former governor requesting that the state goes into concessions where it's a bid for game guide use areas. The DNR has been having meetings, which have not been open to the public. APHA, which is Alaska Professional Hunters Association, has been at the forefront of this. Probably 75% of the guides are against this program. What it is, it's going to try to set up a bid program, and it's going to put the real Alaskan guides out of business. We're not going to be able to compete. You know, the smaller guides are not going to be able to compete with this. If you look on the DNR website, they have now come out with a draft questionnaire, and it basically gives advantage to the outside guides. For one, it asks, how much hunting experience do you have outside of Alaska? Well, it's tough enough for me to just live inside of Alaska with, you know, without having to go outside to guide. Informational meetings. It's cheaper for a guy in Arkansas to go to one of these DNR meetings than it was for me to go into Dillingham. I strongly ask you to stop this in its tracks. One of the biggest problems is it doesn't benefit the Alaskans. And I know it's our Constitution where we can't just say, hey, you're not an Alaskan resident, so therefore you don't get as many brownie points. This is going to be the second time I'm going to probably get forced out of a job because I didn't have enough money to buy into it. And the other job I used to have was crab fishing. We all know what happened to that. So if you could, please look into this. We need to go a different route than putting bids up for, you know, the resource. You know, us Alaskans that live here are guides. You know, some of us do participate in search and rescues during the winter, you know, give our time to the community. This is just a big, bad deal, and it's getting shoved down our throats. I sure wish you would check into it and give us local, you know, Alaskans a little help there, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you bringing it to my attention, and you bet. I mean, my job is to stand up for Alaskans, and I'll do it. So thank you for letting me know.
Chris, I want to thank you very much for your call from Portage Creek. We're going to cut you off now because the phone sounds awful and you still had your radio on. Let's go to Leo, joins the program from Bethel. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Leo.
Good morning, Steve and Governor Sean Parnell.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. I'd like to raise a question to the governor that the Gulf of Alaska has been a problem. The Bly Reef, again, on the news after the 20-year period. And people in the south region of Alaska and Anchorage area are wondering why they're having such a reduction in on the beluga whale. Is there anything that the state of Alaska can do to alleviate the problem on these petroleum spills?
Absolutely. And there is something that we can do, and we're doing a lot. But when I saw that there were 3 spills at Prudhoe Bay and 1 off Bly Reef in a month, I think that's crazy. That's too much. And it's doing a couple of things. One, it's harming our environment and hurting potentially hurting the subsistence and recreational activities of Alaskans, but it's also giving other companies a bad name and a bad reputation in the sense that we're dependent upon oil and gas for jobs at this point in our economy and in our history. And if these companies soil our waters and our resources at a rate of 4 times a month, let alone, you know, one major one in 1989, it's gonna be harmful to us as Alaskans. So what I've done is I've asked our attorney general, my DEC commissioner, my DNR commissioner, to look at our current inspections and level of inspections that we're doing, particularly at Prudhoe Bay, and assure me that we are doing all we can to make sure that these spills do not happen again. And personally, I called BP's head here in Alaska after the 3rd spill. I actually talked to him on each of the prior spills, but this time I said, you know, 3 times is too much. What are you doing? And he assured me that they were having their scientific analysis done of what caused the ruptures and assured me that they would take steps to make sure those never happen again. I'll be following up that. It's a topic of our cabinet meeting on January 11th, which will be held in Kenai. So we do take these spills very seriously. The companies know that, and I anticipate some more action in the future. So thank you for that question.
Leo, I want to thank you for that
question, Governor Parnell.
Okay, if you can hold it until after the break here, Leo, we just got to take a minute off. Is this going to be about the belugas?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll pick up on that on the other side of the break here as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Alaska Communication Systems, connecting your business and employees to the world through their high-capacity data network, bandwidth speeds up to 1,000 megabits per second, acsalaska.com.
It's Talk of Alaska, and it's the first Talk of Alaska for Governor Sean Parnell. And we were in the midst of a couple of questions from Leo in Bethel. Leo, you're on the air with Governor Sean Parnell with question number two.
Oh, thank you very much. On this course, the courses we have on the hazmat and the hazwhopper, why did the price of the 40-hour course and the refresher course skyrocketed these past couple of years? I'll hang off the air and listen. And Happy New Year and good morning to everyone. Thank you much.
Well, thank you, and Happy New Year to you. And I will have to check on that. I do not know what the course fee is at this point or what escalation has occurred, but I will know in another week or so. So thank you for bringing that to my attention.
All right. And Governor, thanks for telling us about that cabinet meeting coming up in Kenai. How does that work? Is there a public portion of it, or how?
No, there's not. Typically, what we do is we end up, I've made it a goal of mine to get the cabinet out into different communities together. So our last trip, we went to Ketchikan. You know, instead of just putting us in a conference room, locking us up in a Juneau conference room or in an Anchorage conference room, I'm trying to get people out in the community. So 2 months ago, we were at the University of Alaska Anchorage in the nursing school, and we were amidst the hospital beds with the mannequins, and we heard about the nursing program. And in Ketchikan, everybody fanned out into the community. So the corrections commissioner went to the jail facility there. The health and social services commissioner went to the hospital. The commerce and economic development person went to the shipyard. And when they came back to the cabinet meeting, they were each able to provide a snapshot of what was going on in their particular area in the community. And that was something that was new, and it was important to our discussions. We all have public accessibility in different ways, and we don't typically have a, you know, public testimony part of a cabinet meeting, because typically it's everything from budget deliberation to policy deliberation on legislative initiatives right now in terms of the bills that I might file, and that will all be made public here within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right. Governor Sean Parnell is our guest on Talk of Alaska. The telephone number 1-800-478-8255 statewide, local in Anchorage at 550-8422, where he's sitting at the moment. Email is talk@aprn.org. And on that subject of belugas, Elston brought this up. He said, aren't you trying to shift the blame to coastal subsistence users in order to avoid critical habitat designation of Cook Inlet? And he's pointing out that they curtailed subsistence harvesting in 1998 when the population was 1,300, and it's continued to decline, so it can't all be blamed on subsistence.
Well, and I, of course, did not raise the subsistence issue. What I said was that the federal government needs to be very careful about these critical habitat area designations, because if it overreaches and overextends, it can shut down economies. It can shut down our port of Anchorage, for example, when it comes to the beluga whales. It can, and what we don't need is an overreaching new regulatory burden when the Marine Mammal Protection Act, you know, already offers protection to the belugas, to the polar bears, for example, as well. And when communities and when companies have to jump through additional hoops beyond NEPA, beyond the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and now jump through critical habitat area designations and ESA type listing hoops, it just delays jobs and decreases economic opportunity for Alaskans. So there's a balance to be struck there.
Let's go to Byron, joins the program from Ketchikan. Byron, you're on the air with Governor Sean Parnell.
Good morning, Governor Parnell. Hey, thank you for giving me this opportunity to make some comments. And I have a question. I've been watching the legislators every one of their sessions for the past 10, 15 years, and I find it really interesting. You know, I understand to a certain extent we have one branch of the government making decisions for all the people in the state of Alaska, and yet we have a federal statute that supposedly was applied to this state way before statehood. On a government-to-government relationship, why isn't it that the other branch of the government is not sitting at the table with the state of Alaska?
Hey, could you clarify that? Are you talking about tribal issues, or what exactly?
No, sir. I'm talking about a federal statute that was applied to this state way before statehood. Okay, and yet we have only one branch of the government, and as I stated earlier, I understand that part as far as the state level is concerned, but when it comes to issues such as what you were just talking about earlier, why isn't it that the other branch of the government's not sitting at the same table making these decisions? Because we're talking about decisions that applies to the people in the state of Alaska. I'm talking about all natives in Alaska, like a native from California and native from New York, okay? Now, why isn't it that the other branch of the government is not sitting at the same table when it comes to decision-making?
I can't get enough specific for the governor to answer on that, Byron. I'm sorry, but...
I thought so. Well, I appreciate your honesty anyway, because that's the same response I got from the chairman of the House Appropriation Committee during their last session here in Alaska.
Okay, but you just have to have
a response. I got was there's a very good question, Mr. Charles. Well, anyway, thank you for allowing me this opportunity. You have a nice day, and hopefully this new year will go somewhere.
All right, it could go to a number of different places. I know Wally Hickok would want to answer that one, I'm sure, and he would say it was a statehood compact, and by golly, it is time for them to live up to it. Let's go to Leslie, joins the program from Wasilla. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Governor Sean Parnell. Leslie.
Thanks so much. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
It's really great to talk to you. I live in Wasilla, and I commute every day to Anchorage, as do many of my fellow Wasilla residents. And before Senator Begich left for Washington, he was starting to work with the borough to try to move forward on commuter rail service between Anchorage and the Valley, and I'm curious about your position on that, and if there's been any movement on that, or what the status of that might be, and where it might be going as we move into the new year. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, that's one of those great questions that I would have to tell you that in the last 4 months, I've not gotten an update on where commuter rail is at this point, and I'm happy to check on that. So, if you would do me a favor and contact the Anchorage office of the governor and ask for, contact the Juneau office, because my commerce person and railroad person there is Susan Bell. So 465-3500, ask for Susan Bell, and we will provide an update for you. Just if you would give her the question, we'll get back with you on it. So thank you for that.
I do know that there has been quite a bit of activity in terms of straightening out some of the curves.
Absolutely.
On the tracks.
And money devoted to that.
Yeah, so that the trains could travel faster. But beyond that, I'll have to say I don't have any update either. Let's go to Matt in Sitka. Matt, I'd like to welcome you to Talk of Alaska with Governor Sean Parnell. Hello, Matt.
Yeah, you have me here?
We do.
Oh, there's an echo. Good morning, Governor, and good morning, Steve. It's a beautiful day down here in Sitka. Clear so far and just lovely. And Governor, I just wanted to say I'm so happy that you're going to be staying in Juneau after the last governor who didn't, we seem to be the poor stepchild in Alaska State. And we sure would like some attention, the right kind of attention from the governor's office. I'm calling specifically about fisheries. I don't know where you're at on this, but we recently went through a 10-year treaty cycle with Canada on our king salmon down here, and we lost 15% of our king salmon, and that's not just commercial fishermen, which I am. We had the sport fishermen, too. So it's a united front here, but there wasn't much discussion of it in the state of Alaska. It's doubtful we'll ever get it back, and there was no biological reason for it. The state of Alaska has done everything they're supposed to do in the treaty process. We should have had an increase in our quota. Instead, we got double dealt by the lower 48 and screwed. And I just want to mention that to you, Governor. Are you aware of the salmon treaty?
I am, and my question for you is, that's coming up for re-upping, isn't it?
Well, it just did. It happened last year, and we lost 15% of the king salmon. Here's the state of Alaska, particularly here in southeast Alaska, because the rest of the state doesn't really come under this treaty process. And it's not just commercial fishermen. It's everybody.
Yeah.
Fishermen, private fishermen, and the charter guys and commercial fishermen are all in the same boat on this. And they took 15% of our king salmon away forever.
There was also an ESA problem with that, right? Wasn't there?
Well, there was a threat of an ESA thing. Uh-huh. The same thing happened 10 years ago, and we said no, we're not going to go along with your ESA threat. And so do what you got to do, and we prevailed. Of course, we had the help of Senator Stevens.
Well, yeah, but I understand that, as I understand it, the fleet, the troll fleet, was cut back on Chinook because Chinook and the lower 48 were in such bad trouble. Is that right?
Well, actually, they seem to be doing better.
Well, good.
And we still got cut back. And it's not, we're not catching California fish, you know, the Sacramento, which are really in trouble, and the Klamath River. The Columbia River stocks seem to be improving, and at least the ones we fish on, there's more than one stock there. And it was just a political deal, and what didn't happen was we didn't really get the full-hearted support from the governor's office. You know, and as a matter of fact, it seemed to go the other way. It seemed like the governor at the time was running for national office, and Alaskans got hurt.
Well, listen, if you have some suggestions on how we can keep more fish for Alaskans, I mean, please contact my office and let us know. I can tell you that on the Southwest and interior fisheries, where there was more escapement to Canada than was anticipated, I've actually put more money in the budget for a pilot station, sonar counter, for an additional counter there, demonstrating my commitment to keep, you know, fish for Alaskans. So if you have suggestions, I'm open to those and appreciate your call.
Well, I just want to say thank you very much, Governor. And Howard Pendell is a representative on the Northern panel in this treaty process. He has suggestions. But
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year.
And to you, too. Thanks.
All right, Matt. Thanks for your call from Sitka. Let's move on to Palmer. Oh, John, okay, from Juneau. Welcome to Talk of Alaska. John, you're on the air with Governor Sean Parnell.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Governor. Thanks for making yourself accessible this way. I think early in the program, the AmFest program was mentioned.
Yes.
That's the subject of a recent press release of yours. And when I read it, I was a little alarmed by the part about the program being a way to look for new opportunities for expanding the mission of the military in Alaska. I wonder if the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower, General Eisenhower, warned us about, if that complex doesn't do an adequate job already of looking for opportunities to expand the military mission. But in Alaska, I know it's a way of getting onto the most rapidly expanding part of the federal budget, I suppose. But our civil society suffers in that process, I believe. And in fact, very often, if not most often, the civil society can take care of a lot of our needs much more efficiently and without the loss of civil liberties that often the militarization of the task entails. Anyway, I hope there's some caution in this and some public review of the policies that are developed by the AMFAST program as it proceeds, and perhaps some kind of analysis of the costs of the military assuming whatever these new mission elements are.
Well, I appreciate the call. To me, the military is a valued member of our community, and will continue to be that. But I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Governor. I was a member of that community for some time as in the Army at Fort Wainwright, and it was great to be able to help to assist civil efforts, at forest fires and floods and whatnot, and I'm not proposing that cease, but anytime we start looking to expand military mission, I think we have to be very cautious about the effect on our society.
Thank you.
All right, John, thanks for your call. That was John.
Thanks, Steve.
John from Juneau, let's go to Homer now. Roberta from Homer, you're on the air with Governor Sean Parnell.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was reading Sean Parnell's Defends Mine Permitting Practices a while back, and I really have some issues with some of his views on our mining. And I've been studying mining ever since the Pebble Mine has come up, and I know way more about mining now than I ever wanted to. And those of us who have actually studied mining are fully aware of the unjust power mining has held for the last century, and never has jobs for so few that makes large corporations richer done more environmental damage than the mining companies. It's a very destructive and dirty business always, and we need to come up with better ways of mining and better ways of protecting the environment, fish habitat. There is no way that wetlands and fish streams can cohabitate with mining. Toxins are toxins. We have earthquakes. There is no safe dam ever in this state. And environmental audits every 5 years is so inadequate, it's almost laughable if it wasn't so horrifying. I've got some ideas, and it comes down to a 4E's template, which is economy, ecology, energy, and ethics. And every project has to pass all four of those before we even start the permitting process. And I am really unhappy with our permit system. We keep saying that it is the world's best permitting system, and every state agency that I even try to talk to or get information from is underfunded and understaffed, and there is not adequate oversight, and I am really hoping that we come into the 21st century with mining. And I would like to hear what Governor Parnell, what you are willing to do to improve the mining records.
Well, thank you. It appears we're gonna disagree on mining in general, in the sense that our Constitution provides for concurrent use of our natural resources. That means that we have to coexist with as fishermen, as miners, as loggers, as sport fishermen. And the only way that our society functions is if we, in that concurrent framework, is if we have a working permitting system, one that is open to the public, is determined, the outcomes are determined by science. And so my job as governor is to ensure that we have a working, functioning permitting process that is fair. It's consistent. People know what the rules are going in, and one that protects the environment, but balances that with the need for jobs and an economy in the state. So I am committed to ensuring that there is some certainty in that regulatory environment, as well as that open public process.
And adequately funded enforcement?
And adequately funded enforcement. I mean, we just talked earlier in this program about the spills on the North Slope. That's unacceptable to me. And that is something that we are addressing. The same thing goes for any other industry.
Let's go to Genevieve in Palmer. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Governor Sean Parnell.
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good morning.
I was just calling because I'm so grateful for the Denali Kid Care program that we have in the state. And I personally, my husband and I, do not have any health insurance. But knowing that my kids do, it really I think it's just a great program. I grew up born and raised here and never had health care. And so I'm wondering what's going to happen. You know, I always write in and thank, you know, representatives for this program. And I don't really know if, you know, Vic Coering was the last person who contacted me back. But it's like I'm wondering what's going to happen to this wonderful program once, you know, President Obama, his health care coverage plan goes into effect.
That's a good question. And I have the Department of Health and Social Services looking at our Denali Kid Care program, as well as our other Medicaid issues that have arisen through the president's health care legislation. I don't have an answer for you about how it might impact Denali Kid Care. I can tell you that Denali Kid Care has been funded in my budget, and there's also pending legislation in the Alaska State Legislature that you can expect your state legislators to take up related to Denali Kid Care.
Oh, okay.
And Genevieve, I think I know in Congress it's still up in the air as to where the money's going to come from for health care reform. And one of the possibilities is reducing the kid care stuff.
And that just scares the heck out of me.
Yeah. Well, I think Senator Begich is your avenue on that one.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. It's Governor Sean Parnell, our guest on Talk of Alaska. And I got all these email things. This is one from Ron who says, hey, we had a flood in the state archives. What can be done to be sure that we're protecting our state heritage?
That's absolutely important to me. We made sure that that repairs were done. And I mean, I asked the question, why were records even at risk? You know, in Juneau, you can, in the Wickersham House there, which is a historical house up on the hill above the Capitol, there are records stored in the attic of that house that I just became aware of recently. And
that's just plain scary.
It is. And I've made sure that our DNR knows that it's a priority of mine to make sure that those records are cared for and cared for better. So my hope is that in the years to come, we'll take greater notice of our heritage in that way.
Let's go to Dean, joins the program from Big Lake. Dean, welcome to Talk of Alaska with Governor Sean Parnell.
Well, good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
My question is, tourism seems to be on the downhill slide, and what's the state going to do about that? And what is the budget currently for advertising outside?
That's a huge issue right now for all of us in this state. And in the last 4 months, as governor, I've spent a great amount of time speaking with everybody from B&B owners to cruise line executives and everybody in between, because the whole chain of tourism is impacted by our down economy. When people are not, people in the lower 48, for example, or internationally, don't have the same amount of money to spend. The more expensive tours coming to Alaska, those suffer as opposed to putting your kids in the station wagon and driving across the country.
Yes, it does.
And
$50 head tax, I think, is a psychological hit.
And so from our standpoint, I went to the ATIA and I said, what can we do to increase tourism in Alaska? Their response to me was support greater tourism marketing. I have said I would support a tourism tax credit for those dollars that the companies direct to tourism marketing. We've been working daily on that tax credit, getting ready for the legislative session. That's legislation that is already pending, but they have asked for our assistance as an administration in crafting language to make that broader.
It sounds to me like you are going to get the third floor involved in the legislative session this year.
Hey, the third floor is actively engaged right now when it comes to our budget and when it comes to legislative initiatives. You can count on it. As a person who served in the legislature, 4 years in the House, 4 years in the Senate, as a Senate Finance co-chair for two of those years, I know the process, I'm engaged in it, and I'll remain engaged.
All right, let's go to Billy, joins the program from Kotzebue. Good to hear from Kotzebue. Billy, welcome to Talk of Alaska. You're on the air with Governor Sean Parnell.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
Well, my question will be short and sweet. And Happy New Year, Governor, and thank you for taking the time to talk to the state. My question is, what's his position on subsistence? The reason why is we have up here, you know, we get a lot of hunters and whatnot, and it seems like the state is always battling, you know, with the village people or with the villages, and subsistence, maybe we should say it's our way of life, and that's my question, and hopefully you can respond to it. Thank you for your time.
Great. I'm glad you put that forward, Billy.
Yep, that's a wonderful question, and certainly I recognize that subsistence is a way of life and your way of life, and there's no question that that needs to be honored and respected. I can also tell you that as a state, we have a dual management system. It's a system where the feds and the state have to work together on allocation issues. There's no way to unwind that I can see at this point, and so we are actively engaged in the federal review process in making sure that the state and the federal government can exist and coexist in this dual management system to a greater degree and moving forward.
All right, I want to thank you. So essentially, I'm trying to remember if you took a position when you were in the legislature on a constitutional amendment. There's just never quite been the votes there.
There hasn't been, and when that was, what, 1999 or 2000 in that time frame, and following that, those special sessions, the federal government came in, the dual management system came into place into a greater degree, and we're now at a place where, constitutional amendment or not, the dual management system is going to be in existence. There's, to my way of seeing things, there's no way to unravel it, and what we have to figure out is how to allocate those resources between the subsistence advisory councils and our state board of game and board of fish.
One last question and a pretty quick one from Bob, which is about infrastructure. Are you going to continue to support mega projects or pay more attention to the roads that are having problems already?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Frankly, my deferred maintenance plan for $100 million, my roads to resources plan is working to build new roads, but it's the little projects that make a difference in our communities, and we're focused on those, like the Village Safe Water projects, for example. So the answer is, in a budget that I've proposed, it is a little bit of both.
All right. Governor Sean Parnell, thank you so much for being with us. I'm so glad your voice held up for this program.
I am too. Thank you.
Through all the technical problems, and I look forward to having you back on.
Happy to. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks. Governor Sean Parnell, our guest today on Talk of Alaska. Next week on Talk of Alaska, the Ombudsman for National Public Radio, Lisa Shepherd, will be our guest. Thanks to engineer Dave Waldron, and on the telephones, BD Trantina, Pat Yak, and Lori Townsend. Maybe Len Anderson as well. I'm Steve Heimel. Thank you so much for listening.
Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.